Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, whether it's morning, noon, or night, wherever you are at this time. We're just glad that you're with us. This is a show where we actually are, we talk about the real issues that men deal with on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering hope and help for men. Let's start with the Word of God. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's what this thing is all about. And, you know, I've got to tell you, it is good to be here now. About 10 minutes ago, I didn't even want to be on the air, to tell you the truth, because it is about being transparent. You know, you seek down this path of trying to bring the Word of God into darkness, and no matter what, it becomes toilsome sometimes. It becomes very challenging sometimes. It's probably the same as toilsome. It's just because I can't think of a word. But you know what? We're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and sometimes we need another brother and or sister to kind of pray for you and bring that up and out and remind you of who's actually within me and who and where this comes from. And that comes from God Almighty through His Son Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. And, you know, in the studio today, I've got Steve with me. Good to have you this morning, Steve.
Good morning, Raoul. This is a day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice
and be glad in it.
That's it. You only have two choices.
Oh, yeah. Now, I'd rather do this one now. You know, before I just thought, okay, I wonder how much gas I have in the vehicle. I could bet how far south I can get, trying to find warmer weather. But even if I were in warmer weather, that wouldn't change anything except the weather. You know? It doesn't change what takes place in the heart. It really doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what the weather does. It doesn't matter about circumstances, about my relationship with Jesus Christ. And sometimes I just need to be reminded of what that is. And the book of James actually is one that hits us between the eyes, at least it does for me. We've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks and or whatever it has been, whatever period of time. And we're going to get back into that again, talking a little bit more, just wrap a few things up in on the anger portion of things. But then you never know where that might take us. But in the meantime, we actually are going to read an email, one that was sent in. I had Steve look through a couple of them. If you have a challenge, brother, and you have something that's questioned in your mind or in your experiences, things that are taking place in, that you want to be able to get some assistance, and you just want somebody else to be able to point you in a direction, you can email us. We'll answer that anonymously. You email it to help@bandofbrothersradio.com. We're here to help you. We are not the save-all. The save-all is Jesus Christ, but we'll give you our experiences, and if it's we can find some scripture that applies to it, we'll mention that also. So, Steve, you got anything there that might work today?
Well, we have several, but here's one that's very practical, and yet an area that, that's my coffee. that's my coffee, brother. Okay. Here we go. This brother writes, "I love my wife, but she is a horrible housekeeper. Is there something I can do to get her to keep our house at least a little clean? Nothing has worked so far." So there's the grenade, my friend. Would you like to?
I think you just pulled the pin, and now we're going to see who's going to be holding that thing when it goes off here.
I just pulled the pin and tossed it to you. So you all get right. The picture. Obviously, he's unhappy with how she's keeping house. And what does a man do in that situation?
You know, it's Yeah, there'd be a whole bunch of questions I'd be asking to try to get a little bit more clarification. So I'm just going to, I hate using this word, assume a few things here, that you are...
Brother, the house is dirty. She's not cleaning the house. He's an unhappy man, and he doesn't know what to do about it.
Then clean the house yourself, man. You know what? If you're getting tired of sitting in that stuff, clean it up yourself. And here's what one of the things, I'm going to give you a suggestion, man. You're talking to Mr. Clean here, man. I do that stuff myself anyway. I don't need to wait for my wife to do anything. As a matter of fact, I've always jumped ahead of the game on that sort. But here's one of the things, but I'm unique when it comes to that sort of thing. Not all guys are like that, and that's all right. That's the way it is. But you know what? Here's a suggestion that you can take is that, you know what, if she's not cleaning the house, maybe if you were to go ahead and just say, you know what, or not say anything, just start picking up or start doing some of that stuff. If you don't think she's going to ask you, what are you doing, you know, I think it would be kind of, you know, I don't believe you might be sitting on the couch. If you're sitting on the couch watching TV, coming home from work and saying, why is this place a pig pen and how come it's not picked up? Well, then, you know, hey, shame on you. You know, you should be maybe spending more time. Maybe she's trying to get your attention. Maybe she's actually wanting you to spend some time with her, saying, come and talk to me a little bit. Even if you have to, you know, be upset with me, I'd rather you talk to me being upset than not at all. You know, maybe there's something else that's actually taking place here. Now, if your place is really a pig pen, I don't think there's anything that you can say that is going to change that. Because I believe that that will either go upon deaf ears or create a challenge where it definitely is probably going to get worse before it got better. So if you actually got up and started doing a little bit, even though you're tired coming home from work, we're going to assume that, and that she's sitting home all day, the kids are in school, and she's not taking care of business. Well, you know what? You just take it upon yourself maybe to get the kids, if there are kids, saying, hey, let's get together, you and me, you know, dad and the kids. We're going to clean the house up here. Mom's been tired. She's working, you know, doing a lot of things that she's unable to finish up everything. And just do the stuff, okay? Now, what's going to happen, this is going to create a dialogue. Somewhere along the line, she's going to say, wow, either thank you or what are you doing? Now you get an opportunity to be able to communicate with your wife, which truly might be exactly what she's looking for. Now you have the opportunity of being able to practice some of the principles of, you know, pausing before you're getting upset, you know, asking the Holy Spirit to be with you before you get into that place of communicating with her and loving her. You know, a big part of our wives that we need to do as men is that, yes, we sit there and go, okay, the Bible says they are to submit to us. Well, let me tell you something. If you read on a little bit more, there's some things that we need to be doing. Sure, we're to love our wives as Christ loves the church. Guess what he did for you and I? He died. He sacrificed his life for you and me. I think that's what he means when he says that you are to love your wives as I love the church. So in a sense, maybe the things that are uncomfortable and just feel like they're not in place or there's no, you know, you don't want to do it. Well, wham, there's a lot of things I don't want to do either. But you know what? If I want my life to be better, if I want to feel joy and peace, and I want the people around me to feel comfortable, I want it to be warm, and I even maybe want my home to look a little bit better, maybe I need to apply a little bit more love, true, heartfelt love. Okay, there's my grenade.
Well, what I would add to that, Raul, is, you know, it's important for all of us to understand, whether we're male or female, but the world that you grow up in, that is your normal. And so I remember a teacher a number of years ago saying to a group of us young men, if you want to see what you're thinking about marrying somebody and you want to see what kind of home she's going to keep, go visit her mother.
Yes.
Because... and it doesn't always work out this way. And there are other reasons that people experience degrees of debilitation. But what this brother finds horrible may just be the norm that she grew up with. So he's got to answer that question. Obviously, this is an area where they can sit down and have a very candid talk at some point. But you're right. I mean, he can go a long ways just in managing his own stuff, taking his own plate off the table and put it in the sink, or putting it in the dishwasher, picking up his own clothes. When the bathroom door is closed and he's on the inside of it, taking a couple extra minutes to pull those cleaning supplies out from underneath the sink and do whatever needs to be done. Mm-hmm. So his expectations need to be in the area of servanthood, that he's been called to serve his wife, to understand his wife. But another important thing, too, is that sometimes this kind of disrepair or undoing in the home is an expression of depression or despair. It's a cry for help, and he needs to be sensitive to that as well. But in it all, gently loving his wife, but at the same time being able to discuss the issue, those are the keys. But having, as you mentioned, Jesus went all the way to the cross for us, as men were called to go all the way to the cross for our wives. I was reading recently some of material by A.W. Tozer, and he said, you know, there are two crosses today. There's the popular cross, which is basically has friendship with the present world system, and you become a Christian, you just kind of add that into your life, and you have all these expectations of good things that other people are going to do for you, and it's going to solve all your problems and so on, and you just go on your merry way. And he said, there's the old cross. The old cross knew no compromise. The old cross slew every person that came to it. The old cross brought absolute death, not partial death, not partial submission, but the old cross had a finality to it. And he said, you know, that's the Bible, that's the cross of Jesus. And that God tells us to come to the cross and bring our old selves and put that old self completely to death. And on the other side of that cross, there's resurrection and there's new life. And I think for a lot of us, our relational problems would go a long ways towards being solved if we revisited the cross, brought an end to our wants, our likes, our dislikes, our preferences, and resurrected on the other side that we've been called to serve. And so I challenge this brother to perhaps look at his wife's situation through a different lens and be more understanding. And to do his part, and just gently, over time, raise the level of order in their home.
Mm-hmm. When we get back from our break, we're going to delve right back into James. And I want to say thank you to the emailer for sending that in. And blessings and peace for you and your family. We'll be right back on Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and I have Steve in the studio with me. And brother, we've been talking about James. We've been on it for about three shows now, and
I think it's actually been more than that.
Maybe so, but yeah. You know, I tell you, there's so much here. Let's delve right back into this thing.
Well, we want to revisit verse 19, chapter 1, because we started to deal with this issue of anger, but I think there's some other things that we need to say. So the scripture tells us to be that everyone, so not most people or some people, but everyone, should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So there is a life that God desires. You know, we hear a lot about grace today, and nobody believes in grace more than I do. It's everything coming from God. It's nothing coming from us. Jesus paid the price in full. He has freed us from our sins. We are saved by grace through faith. I can't add anything to it. I am an undeserving, hopeless, helpless, lost sinner. Yeah. I've proven that. And God reached into my darkness and brought me to himself. It was a work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so I understand that there is a life. We're saved by grace, but there's still a life that God desires. He's calling us to be part of his family. He's calling us to be part of that kingdom of priests that worship him and present offerings that are acceptable to him. There's an old life to forsake, and there's a new life to embrace. Mm-hmm. And any Christian message that doesn't communicate that is selling people short on what the Bible has to say. Mm-hmm. And so the scripture tells us here that if we are given to anger, that we're stepping outside of the boundaries of that life that God desires for us, mm-hmm. that he wants for us. And that man's anger cannot bring about that righteous life. Mm-hmm. So why is it that we are so predisposed to anger? And we're talking to men, but we know that this applies to men and women. Last week we talked about moral filth being buried in the heart of a man. Mm-hmm. But there's another issue here, Raoul. Anger is one of those tools that people use to control the other people around them, mm-hmm. to manipulate the other people around them. Now, you and I we've not only seen two-year-olds, we've had two-year-olds of our own. We've seen these yep. kids. And, you know, when a two-year-old throws a tantrum, they're angry because they're not getting their way.
Yep.
And that is that old Adamic nature. And that, I think, happens to us as sometimes as men, though we control a little bit better. What do you think?
Well, you know, that is so true. As a matter of fact, I think on Friday I was on, Debbie and I, we were on her show, and we were talking about men in general. I was talking about men, and I said, hey, you know what? We are just like, you got to keep things very, now, most guys sit there, what do you mean keeping it simple? You need to keep it simple with men. We need to be very clear about things. We are just like toddlers. You know, we get to a certain place of want, you know, we get somebody's taking care of us, things are happening, getting our way. But as soon as I don't get something that I so desire, I start reacting. Okay. Not very loudly at first. In some cases it might be, but most of the time, most of us very lightly to try to show disapproval. Come on, you'll make me happier if you let me have this. And you say no, or you receive a no, all of a sudden it's like, okay, now I need to heat it up a little bit more to really make people get their attention. And if not just this one person, more people. And in turn, we end up looking like that toddler. Okay. Yeah. The same thing.
Well, we do. Somebody blocks our goals. Somebody yes. gets in our way. And we can handle it a number of different ways. We can now remember James, we started out in James by saying God said pray for wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to see life from God's point of view. Mm-hmm. So when all of a sudden you come up against some blockage or you're not getting your way, the righteous life that God desires, since we're depending on him, would be to step back and say, Lord, okay, now give me some wisdom here. I'm asking with a sincere heart. I want to do your will. I want to know your will. I want to glorify you. Help me see this situation from your perspective. And then when I see it, I can walk in humility and allow God to be glorified and respond. I may have to be very firm with you. I may have to show some real godly strength and say, I'm sorry, brother, but I disagree. Or I challenge that assumption. We're not talking about weak-willed, soft, mushy kinds of men with no strength. Mm-hmm. In fact, we're talking of the definition of meekness is power under control. Mm-hmm. And so, I may be very firm with you. Mm-hmm. I may look you in the eye and I may say, there's no way that we're going to go that direction or that we're going to do this. And this could be a job setting, a family setting, a friendship setting. But that's different than being angry. Because what happens is when somebody becomes angry, what they're attempting to do is to so dominate the emotional landscape that they paralyze everybody around them. Mm-hmm. And men and women, but men can go into their home and literally paralyze their spouse and their children, and then people begin, and we're not going to get into the whole codependency issue here, right. But then people begin walking on eggshells, don't make dad angry.
Yes.
What's amazing to me is, you know, if a guy is a drunkard, he's going to be identified as having a problem.
Right.
He's going to be told he needs help. He's going to be challenged to get help. But a man can have an anger problem, and it can go unchallenged by so many. But notice in verse 22, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. So we're challenged, and I'm going to say to men out there right now, if you've got a problem with anger and you know that you do, listen up, because the Bible's saying don't just hear this, but having heard it, now it's time to do something about it. So we're going to talk about what do you do if you got an anger problem.
You know, I want to kind of go on that same tangent where you were at here of talking about the men using anger as a tool, so to speak, to be able to get a job accomplished, so to speak. A lot of times, and I know this from not only my own experience, but hearing and working with other men, sharing with other men, hearing what they have experienced in their past, they were brought up in households like that sometimes.
Oh,
where
yes.
Their dad is
yes.
actually,
yeah,
or
yeah.
their mom, it might one of them,
right.
actually did the same thing.
Right.
And they are actually going, in a sense, by what they know.
Yep.
Okay? And or what they've experienced. Now, that's not to excuse it. That's not to say, okay, that's, you know, let's blame your mom and dad because of what's taking place today. No. Because now you've now heard from us that, hey, we're bringing this darkness into the light, okay? There is more to it than that. Because obviously, some of the things that kick off anger, at least in my life, it isn't so much that I wanted something a certain way, but I didn't know how to deal with life. And the best way I was to be able to not have it around, so I wanted to, in a sense, to scare it away. If somebody is really bothering me, I want to make them angry enough to where they fear being around me that they're not going to be around or they're not going to bring up anything that I don't want to hear. And it is a tool of, well, I'll say this. There's hurt that had taken place in my past that I did not realize how much it affected my life today. And there is something that takes place without having to get into a recovery program
mm-hmm,
today.
Right.
It's more of that when the Bible tells me that when I submit, not just surrender, submit to Him, I am going, my mind is going to be renewed, my heart is going to change, okay? There's going to be renewing of my mind. That means that there's going to be some flushing out of stuff that needs to be flushed out. Not forgotten, it doesn't go away because those sometimes end up being my greatest assets today, okay? Of being able to recall those to bring up to other men, okay? Yet, they are a challenge today. So what we need to do is disconnect that. Who does that? Jesus does.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, that's exactly right. And what an important point is that oftentimes this is behavior that we've embraced because somehow it's been modeled for us. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to the wife that maybe looks at her home and thinks it's clean because that's her normal. Mm-hmm. You know, if you grew up in a home with a rageaholic, that may be your normal. That may be the parental model. And today, and we could easily go down a recovery track here today, but the point that we're reaching for here in the book of James is that there is a righteous life that God desires.
Yes.
And that the power to live that life, Raoul, it comes from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that God is, he is present, he's at work. Jesus has paid the price, he's purchased this for us, and James is challenging us to stand up and embrace it. Don't just hear the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
James is, it's like James is reaching over and he's grabbing us as men.
Exactly.
And he's shaking us and he's saying, okay, listen, don't just, he's saying, stop talking about this. Stop mm-hmm. just debating about this. Stop just getting together and having coffee at Starbucks and talking about your insights here. He's reaching over and he's grabbing us and he's saying, okay, men, it's time to stand up and do this. Mm-hmm. And he goes on, you know, he says religion, the real religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And what he's saying right here in this first chapter, yes, he's saying the real deal is full of action.
Yes.
And it's driven by sincere hearts. It's, you know what, there are times when anger is just a healthy expression of being a human being in a broken world.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is that raging emotion that says, I'm selfishly not getting my way. And I am going to, rather than leaning on the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're talking to Christians, mm-hmm, I'm going to reach back here into my old life. I'm going to get out of the Spirit. I'm going to get into the flesh, into my emotions, mm-hmm, and I'm going to use this powerful negative emotions, which threatens everybody in my presence,
right,
to paralyze them and get my way.
Right.
Now, we're going to talk about the damage that does to children, mm-hmm, the damage that does to your spouse, the damage that does to your relationships, and James describes it very well right over here in chapter 3.
And you know, when we come back from the break, that's exactly what we're going to do. I don't know about you guys who are listening, but I tell you what, man, there's an awful lot. Now you get an opportunity to go get your Bible and come on back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, bench marker, keepsake urn, or flight case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
I just want to keep listening to that song a little bit. My name is Raul, and welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. I've got Steve in the house with me, and we are on talking about James. We're talking about anger. We're talking about different types of anger. We're not in the anger right now that you would be able to say, well, you know, Jesus got angry, you know, and that was okay. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about where, in a sense, there is a righteous anger for, but we're talking about the anger that, come on, brother, you and I have always had, and it comes out at times. And we're talking about when we're not getting our way, or we're trying to intimidate other people. And in some cases, we get to a place, and it's not for everyone. Sometimes you get into such a rage, it's almost like a blackout. You don't even recall or have any control over what you are saying and or doing.
Well, that's it. And some people are going to express that anger explosively outwardly. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, some people who you'd never suspect, they turn that anger inward,
yes,
which really is debilitating to a person. But listen to this. So yes, we are not talking about the normal human emotion that might be expressed in certain of life's challenges. Mm-hmm. If you've studied death and dying, you know that there are stages that a person goes through, and mm-hmm, and one of them is that strong sense of anger.
Yes.
That's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is that vindictive, malicious, controlling, destructive, emotional outburst in the life of a person who has not submitted that part of their being to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Listen to this in chapter 3, verse 13, because it talks about two kinds of wisdom, which is the point we were making earlier, that we can either function in the Spirit, which is our new life, mm-hmm, or we can get into our emotions, which is reaching back into the way we lived before we came to the cross. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. So there's James reaching out and grabbing us, and he's saying, okay, men, stop talking about it and start doing it. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. Now, my point here is that there is anger that is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. So, and I like to say to people, you know, when you just go off emotionally and you're, that anger comes out of you, where do you think that comes from? We are struggling against principalities and powers and spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly realms. In the same way that the Holy Spirit prompts us to reach out to somebody in love and grace and forgiveness, I'll tell you, Satan is right here trying to influence you to yield to that old nature. And when you do, he wants to empower you. And when you turn into an angry rage, it's as if you just open your inner being up and allow the enemy to come in and take control. And then you start saying things and doing things that somewhere down the line you're going to wish you wouldn't have said and done.
Absolutely, and that's something I don't think there's a guy who's listening, for that matter, even a woman who's listening, that can't relate with that. How many times is it that I end up getting angry in a situation when it mentions here about denying the truth, when there's actual truth that comes out, but someone else sees it in me before I really admit it, and then all of a sudden it's like, there is no way. I cannot allow them to think that that is true. So I get even more angry about, because truly what it comes down to is I don't like what I see within myself or how I'm acting. I know this from times in my recollection, in times of rage or of a true anger, it's that silence afterwards when that individual who I am angry with or those that were there, they leave the arena, right? They're gone. All of a sudden, I'm left to myself. Brother, those are the same things back in the day when I used to medicate myself. Those are the things that I would drink over because I didn't want to have to feel that feeling anymore. I didn't want to feel what was going on. I did not want to admit it anymore. So I needed something to take me away from that. And that's where for me, that's where I delve back into all those things. I mean, whether it was drugs, alcohol, or women. I mean, that's where it went to because I needed something to take my mind off of what I was feeling.
Absolutely. And you know, and there's it's like one of the emails we received that we didn't deal with yet, and you'll probably hit it sometime this week, where the brother says, listen, I don't have a problem with pornography. You guys make it sound like that's all men's, every man's problem. And I think he's making a great point. Everybody doesn't struggle in the same way.
Right.
Now, we know from, and you know specifically from your work with men every Tuesday night, that that happens to be a huge issue in this present era. Mm-hmm. But it's not the only issue.
Right.
I mean, there are issues of overeating. There are issues of lack of self-control and spending. There are gambling issues. I mean, I could just go down the list.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everybody's going to, sooner or later, everybody struggles with something.
Yes.
And it really doesn't matter what the thing is. The struggle is still the same. Listen to this. Verse 3, chapter 3. We put bits into the mouths of horses and make them obey us. So we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships, for example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small member of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of his life on fire and is set on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. With the tongue, verse 9, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Mm. Now, so here's the thing. If this is creating some conviction in a man out there right now, now there's a recovery track that we could talk about, but we're not going down that this morning. And there may be some long-term work that a brother needs to do to figure out how the pieces of his broken life fit back together in a mosaic established by God, that when you look at it, it's all of us. The broken pieces look like a tragedy, but when you put it all together and you see the hand of God at work, it turns into an absolutely beautiful picture.
Yes.
But what we're talking about this morning is this begins with the work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So if there's a brother out there who knows he has an anger problem and he's feeling some discomfort right now, I want to say that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And where this healing begins is with humility.
Yes.
And that's what James is telling us. He's saying, listen, get wisdom and be humble. And so wisdom says, I want to step back and I want to see this the way God sees it. So sir, step back from your family or step back from your job. Step back from how you use anger as a mechanism to not deal with your own real issues and just visualize what it looks like from God's perspective and then humble yourself. It's like the old song said, it's me, O Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. Mm-hmm. And humble yourself and say, yes, Lord, this is an area of brokenness in my life, mm-hmm. and I'm bringing it to you. I no longer want the wisdom of this world, but I want your wisdom. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and get this, then peace-loving. God's wisdom isn't full of anger. God's wisdom isn't full of hostility. God's wisdom is peace-loving. It's considerate, it's submissive, it's full of mercy and good fruit, it's impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So we're saying, Lord, you see my anger, you see how it's controlled me, and I've used it to control others. And I realize I may need some recovery work. I may need some good biblical counsel. Mm-hmm. But none of that's going to matter if I don't humble myself and repent and confess to you this is not the righteous life that you desire.
Right.
And Lord, I confess that my anger has been a tool of the devil, and I now forsake that, and I turn to you, and I pray, Lord, give me the wisdom from above.
Mm.
Forgive my sin. Wash me afresh and anew in the blood of Jesus Christ. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I surrender this part of my life. And when that strong temptation comes to yield to anger, Lord, I am just in the same way the scripture says we steer that large ship with a little rudder and we turn that horse with a very small bit. I'm going to control my tongue, and I am not going to use it as a weapon in the hands of Satan. But when that strong temptation comes, I'm going to do what scripture says. I'm going to start in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Lord, I'm going to start praising you and worshiping you until I recognize that I have been filled with your Spirit, and I'm going to respond differently, not by my strength, but by the power that comes from God.
When we come back from the break, we're going to give you a couple of tips on how you can kind of just jump the gun on this thing when we start to feel that anger starting to flare up. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
I can't find a way to escape
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. I've got the producer waving. Music's going down, and I'm a step back, or behind, I should say. You know, I love this verse when you went here, Steve, on chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure. Mm-hmm. That right there is, and you kind of gave me a little idea of what pure means. I was thinking that it was being perfect, but that's not it.
Well, that's not it, Raoul. And so often we make that mistake. The word here, pure, does not mean perfect. Now, God is perfect, but we're not. But the wisdom that comes from heaven and works in our hearts, purity there means that it's unmixed. So the motive is right. The heart is right. Mm-hmm. The sincerity is really for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it. We are selfish, self-centered human beings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people can put on their Sunday disguise, but when you start taking things away from them or blocking their goals, what's in them comes out of them very quickly. And it's amazing that people who profess to be followers of Christ don't really act a great deal different from people who say they don't have any faith in God at all, right, when their goals are blocked or something is taken from them.
Right.
Well, what we're saying this morning is this is not counseling. This is not six steps to control your emotions. Mm-hmm. What we're saying, Raoul, is there is a power that comes from God.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. There is wisdom that comes from God. It's not earthly, but it is pure. It is peace-loving. It is considerate. It is all of those things. This is what James is giving us here is not a great deal different than what Paul gives us when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith. That's who the Holy Spirit is, and that's what he does. And we're saying, you know what? We recognize that some people have a tremendous habitual, lifelong challenge with anger and hostility that overtakes them, controls them, destroys their relationships. And we're saying that power comes from the enemy. As James says here, it's devilish. It's of this world. It's of the enemy. And we're saying that God has a greater power. We're not saying you're not going to need some counseling. We're not saying you're not going to need to go through recovery. But we are saying that deliverance begins at the foot of the cross. By the power of Jesus' name, by the authority of his name, by the power of his blood, that we take dominion over that spirit of anger and we submit to God. We ask for wisdom. And you've made an important point here as we come to the end of this today. You know what? Most of us, if we were honest, we could see it coming. There's little hints. We know when we're on the verge of pulling the pin out of the grenade. We know when the stage is being set for our anger. Mm-hmm. And the sooner a man is honest with himself, the sooner that he recognizes that little ritual that he goes through is beginning. And as he humbles himself, that's mm-hmm. the key.
Yes.
Humility. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. I don't know of a greater expression of pride than this uncontrollable anger.
Yes. Yes.
So when he sees those and begins to sense that, that's the time to bow the knee, humble himself, and say, Lord Jesus, give me the wisdom from above.
You know, that other fruit that was mentioned is self-control.
Yeah.
That is something that comes with that also as a result of seeking him. You know, one of the cool things is that when we become aware of the simple fact that, hey, I do know when I'm setting myself up. Come on, brother. You all know when you're in the midst of, whether you're looking at pornography or going to go have a drink or get high, you know the steps that lead you in that direction. You know what they are. Now the fact that you have some wisdom, knowing that this is what's going to take place, you have all the means of being able to stop it. Not by you. It's by your surrender and submission to Christ and following what he has in store for you. That's why we can't do this thing by ourselves. That's why we need our brothers around us to surround us, to be able to lift us up, to encourage us, to know that nobody's going to bail out on me. If anything, they're going to come closer to me and keep me in prayer so that I don't fall into these traps of the enemy. because that's truly what they are. Brother, how many times do we have to say, I'm sorry, to our family members? They get so tired of hearing that, I'm sorry does not mean anything anymore. It just means I'm going to put this off until a little bit later, until I get back and recollect myself. So I get a little fired up here, as you can very well tell.
Right on.
Go for it, brother. Give me something.
Right on. Well, in the end, Paul says we have this treasure in jars of clay.
Yes.
So you and I are a vessel. And as a word pitcher, we're going to open the lid of our vessel either to the Lord or to the what James says, the devil. I mean, and we're going to talk about that in our next session, James chapter 4, verse 7, because there is a malvoyant evil power at work in the world. So we are a vessel, and we open the top of our vessel, and we allow either the Holy Spirit to pour in his grace, or we turn the other way and we allow the enemy to pour in anger and dissension and hostility. You and I, we make the decision. And that's the way it's going to be today. Somebody may block your goals today, Raul.
Well, you know what? If they plan on doing that,
you may not get what you want today. Somebody may challenge you today, and you're going to have to decide, am I going to yield to the Holy Spirit and be filled with the love of God, or am I going to yield to my old nature and allow Satan to have his way? And I won't be there, brother, to make that decision for you. You will be on your own. It's your choice.
But I know that I'm not alone, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you would just bless all of my brothers and sisters who are listening right now. Father, may we just surrender and submit our hearts to you, Father, that we seek the light rather than the darkness. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Brother, there is hope, and you are not alone.